All right, we'll see. Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you, Cheskel. All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Kuf Beis 102. We are beginning from Kuf Aleph Amud Beis, and we're picking up from Ravashi. It's a 2, 4, 6, 8 lines up from the bottom. So we'll say, remember what we established yesterday, Machlokes in Rabbi Yehudah and Rabbanon, about how many people do you need for a chalitza panel. So we paskin like the Rabbanon that you only require 3. So Ravashi, Iklulabi Rav Kahana, Ravashi went to the house of Rav Kahana, Amr Lei, Rav Kahana said to him, Salik Mar Legabon, Lemeluye Bechamisha. So we're so happy you came, because now you can help us go ahead and complete the Beis Din of 5. In order to go ahead and perform a chalitza. Amar Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana said, one second. Havaka imna kamid Rav Yehuda. I was once before Rav Yehuda. Va'amar li ta sok lizriza, lizirza. Go quickly, go to where the, excuse me, lizirza dekani. Go and sit by that bundle of reeds. Litzdarufe bechamisha. In order to help us, go ahead and complete a group of 5 to create a panel for chalitza. Amrulo, they said to him, Lama li chamisha, why do you require 5? Amaluhu, kihechi de la farsi milsa, in order that the matter become public in those. So we already spoke about this idea yesterday, that although it's clear that the halacha falls to Rabbanon, and you only require a panel of 3 for a chalitza, there is this concept that sometimes they wanted to add more people than necessary onto the Beis Din in order to publicize the fact that chalitza occurred. So it's not halachically necessary, but was done for pure some purposes. Okay? Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Havakai Kamed Rav Yehuda. Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda was from Rav Yehuda. Amar Lehi, he said to him, Ta sok ta lizirza dekani, listarufe bechamisha, lefarsume milsa. So we'll say here you have an explicit case. He was before Rabbi Yehuda, and what happens? Rabbi Yehuda said, so happy you came. Come sit down by the bundle of reeds in order that you go out. Also remember, and they keep saying the bundle of reeds, because remember we saw in yesterday's daf that for chalitza, you have to specify a specific place in which chalitza is going to occur. So go to the bundle of reeds, take a seat, and we're going to, you can help us finish out the group of 5. And what happened? And he said, oh, but not that we need 5, but rather we just want to publicize the chalitza, so therefore we're getting together a group of 5. Amar Lei Tanina B'Yisrael, Amar Lei Tanina, So listen to this. Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda said, well, I appreciate that you want to include me in the group of 5. There's only one problem. We learned that the Pasuk says that Chalitza takes place Bi Yisrael, which teaches us that it has to take place with a Beis Din of what we'll call naturally born Jews, and not with a Beis Din of Gerim. And I am a ger. Now, Bosa, this is very interesting that Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda is called a ger. Now, how could it, what do you mean? Now, what do you mean if he's Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda? So, if he's Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, how is he a ger? So, Rashi tells us point out something very interesting that Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Shmuel and Yehuda, his father, converted together. So, technically speaking, as we've seen already, technically speaking, that bond of paternity is broken with conversion, but because they converted together, he was known as Bar Yehuda. That was his biological father. So it's interesting. So you would have never known this, because Shlomo Bar Yehuda is not the ger name. It's just not a ger name. It's a Ben Avram. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No, it's just you would not. But yet again, because they converted together, this is how he was known. All right, it's an interesting idea. I'm Rav Yehuda, Kigon Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. So we'll say now that we started talking about Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda said, someone like Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Mafikna Mamona Apume. I would go ahead and extract money from someone based on his word. In other words, both said that Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda said Reuven owes Shimon money. Rav Yehuda is saying that I would believe him. You can't do that. You can't extract money from one person and give to another just on based on the testimony of one person. You need to aid him. To which the Gemara says, no. I decided he didn't literally mean that he would extract money. Rather, Ella Mirana Shtara Apume. We would downgrade a shtar based on his testimony. I will say, what does that mean? So it's interesting. So meaning what Rav Yehuda is saying is Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda were to go ahead and say that I know that Reuven's holding a document that says that Shimon owes him $100, but I know for a fact that Shimon already paid that. So says Rav Shmuel, in such a case like that, because Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda was such an individual of incredible caliber and upstanding character, we would believe that statement, and we would essentially negate Reuven's ability to collect with that shtar. That's how much trust he put in Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. Amar Rava, top of Kuf Beis. Ger dan es chavero dvar Torah. A ger, a convert, could go ahead and sit in judgment of a fellow convert. Rashi says, ger dan es chavero dinei nefashos. This is talking about a capital case. De'ilu dinei mamonos, because if we're dealing with a monetary case, afilu l'chol Yisrael, this nan, hakol k'sherim ladun dinei mamonos, va'aminan hakol la'asuye mai, la'asuye ger. Okay, so what's we'll say? So therefore, a ger is permitted to go ahead and judge another ger when it comes to capital cases. Shne'emar, som tasim alecha melech, asheivchar Hashem elokecha bo, Mikerev achecha tasim alecha melech. From within, so go ahead and place a king over you that Hashem will choose. But it has to be mikerev achecha. It has to be from the midst of your brethren. So the Gemara says, Melech alecha hu deba'inon. Excuse me, Melech alecha hu deba'inon mikerev achecha. Avalger danes chavero. Avalger danes chavero ger. I'm sorry. So we'll say, so again, for a naturally born Jew, so in order for someone to sit over him, that individual must be mikerev achecha, must be from within the midst of his brethren, i.e., someone who is born Jewish. But for a ger, mikerev achecha applies to who? Even a fellow ger. So the Gemara is actually saying something very interesting over here, that whereas a ger cannot sit in judgment of what we'll call a naturally born Jew, a ger can sit in judgment of another ger. We'll say again, the Gemara is just basing this based on a gzer sakosov, based on the pasuk. However, vim haisam imam yisrael. We'll say now, here's what's interesting, but if his mother was Jewish, Don afili Yisrael. I will say now what that means is that when we speak about ger, you know, this is interesting. Sometimes ger means a convert, and sometimes ger also comes to include people who come from a mixed marriage. See what the Gemara is saying over here is when we speak about ger in this context, this means that someone who didn't have a Jewish mother. But if someone had a Jewish mother, even if his father was not Jewish, such a person is able to adjudicate capital cases for anyone. So the Gemara says, well, the inyan chalitza, when it comes to chalitza, Ad she aviv v'imo b'Yisrael. I will say, interestingly enough, so it appears that just based on Gzeir Sakasov, the criteria for chalitza is that you must have a Jewish mother and father in order to sit on the base. Then Shene Emar, v'nikra shmo b'Yisrael. Because Rabbi Sayyid, again, the pasuk says that if this is by chalitza, that if he does chalitza, his name will be called b'Yisrael, based chalutza now. So the idea is we're picking up on this, his name will be called in Yisrael, which the Gemara understands means that the Beis Din must be comprised of individuals who are totally from Yisrael, i.e. both parents are Jewish. Amar Rabba, Amar Rav Kahana, Amar Rav. It's interesting. Im Yavo Eliyahu, V'yomar Cholzin B'minal. So I'll say, if Eliyahu HaNavi were to come and to tell us that we can go ahead and do chalitza with a min'al, right? With a min'al. Now, I will say, a min'al, ultimately, we saw in the Mishnah, is a soft leather shoe. A soft leather shoe. So if Eliyahu HaNavi were to show up and to tell us we could do chalitza with a min'al, shominlo, we would listen to Eliyahu HaNavi. Ein cholzin besandal. But if Eliyahu HaNavi were to come, is actually very interesting. He were to tell us that you can't do chalitza with a sandal, then what? Ein shominlo. We would not listen to Eliyahu HaNavi. Why? Shekvar nahagu ha'am besandal. Because Rabbi Sai, we already use a sandal. Now here's what's interesting. So meaning that if Eliyahu HaNavi came along and told us that we could use a minal, so okay, we would go and use a minal. But if he tells us that we can't use something that we've already been using for a long time, then we're not going to listen to Eliyahu HaNavi, because Rabbi Sai, then the problem is we've been doing this. So if we've been doing this again now, Eliyahu HaNavi says he can't do it. The problem is, you know, there is always this concept of imkein ata motzi laz ala rishonim, that ultimately, again, if you change practice too dramatically, then ultimately you run the risk of casting aspersions upon that which was done in earlier generations. Rav Yosef and Rav Kana, Rav Yosef and Rav Kana, Amarav, im yavo Eliyahu v'yomer ein cholzin bin minal. If Eliyahu Navi were to come and he were to say that you can't do chalitza with a minal, with this soft leather shoe, shomelah, we would listen to him. Ein cholzin besandal, in shomelah, but if he were to say that you can't do chalitza with a sandal, we wouldn't listen to him. Why? Shekvar nagu ha'am besandal, because we've been using a sandal already for a long time. So we'll say, so essentially they seem to be saying the same thing. Just in the first version they say that if Eliyahu Navi came and he said you could do chalitza with a minal, we listen to him. And in the second version, they say, if Eliyahu HaNavi came and he said, you can't do chalitza with a minal, we would also listen to him. So my benai, what's the practical difference between these two statements? Ika benayu, excuse me, minal lechatchila. The questions I will say, can you use this soft leather shoe lechatchila for chalitza purposes? Ulamando amrafil lechat. So I'll say this would be the nafkamina between the two opinions. Ulamando amrafil lechatchila, and the mandarim says that you could even use a minal lechatchila. V'hatnan, but we learned chalitza b'minal chalitza sekshera. That the Mishnah said that if she did chalitza with a minal, with a soft leather shoe, the chalitza is kshera. And I will say kshera always indicates what the eved in lechatchila. No, so I will say so. Kshera means that if you did it with the eved, it works. But lechatchila, you shouldn't use a minal. And I will say now we didn't discuss why you can't. Why shouldn't you use a minal? We'll get to that. To which the Gemara says, no. Lo hu al dinafi lechatchila. The truth is, you could even use a minal lechatchila, but what? What? The ID debayle misni seifa, but an pilei chalitza sapsula dafilu di eved tananami reisha di eved. So Rabbi says, the Gemara says, but you know, really, you could even use a minal lechatchila. So why does the Mishnah only say b'di eved? Because since the end of the Mishnah speaks about an apilia a sack and says, that you can't use a sack for chalitza purposes, and you can't, and if you used it, it is possible even bidi eved. Therefore, it used also the lashon of bidi eved by the minal. In other words, in order to go ahead and create textual symmetry within the Mishnah, it phrased both cases in bidi eved. But really, even based on the Mishnah, you'd be permitted to use the minal lechatchila for chalitza purposes. And the Gemara says, minal lechatchila tinahi. But the reality, whether or not you could use a minal lechatchila for chalitza, is in fact the subject of a machlokes tanoim. This sanya, because we learned in a brisa. We learned in a brisa. What did we learn? I'm Rabbi Yossi. Pam achos halachti l'netzivin. One time I went to the city of Netzivin, and matzasi zokin echad. I found an old man. Amarti lo, I said to him, klum atabaki bar Yehuda ben Beseira. Do you know any of the teachings? Are you an expert in any of the teachings of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira? Amarli, he said to me, yes, hein. Va'al shulchani hu tadir. Right? And Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira used to eat at my table all the time. Klumra itza shechalitz bivama. So I asked the old man, did you ever see Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira conduct a chalitza? Amar li ra'isi shechalitz harbe pamim b'minal. Harbe pamim. Yes, I saw him do chalitza many times. So I asked him, tell me, b'minal o b'sandal. What kind of shoe did Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira use for chalitza? Did he use a minal, a soft leather shoe? Or did he use a sandal? Amar li v'chin cholzin b'minal, but can you go out and do chalitza with a minal? This is what the old man responded. V'hatora amra na'alo v'lo min'alo. Now, I'm about to understand that from the Gemara's perspective, the lashon of Torah says na'alo, his shoe, that she will take off the Yavam's shoe. Now, there's a difference between a shoe and a min'al. Remember, the shoe is normally made of what? Hard leather. The min'al is made of soft leather. So this old man says, how can you do chalitza with a min'al? The Torah dafka singles out that you're supposed to use a na'al, a hard leather shoe. Amarti lo, I said to him, if that's the case, after Bihudah ben Beseira never used a min'al for chalitza, then then why would Rabbi Meir say that if you did chalitza with a min'al, that your chalitza is kshera? Rabbi Yaakov Omer Mishmo Cholzim b'minal lechatchila, and Rabbi Yaakov said in his name that you could do chalitza eat with a min'al, even lechatchila. So we'll say, you see over here, this opinion, Rabbi Meir, who holds that you could even do chalitza. So on one hand, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says you're not doing chalitza with a min'al. And on the other hand, Rabbi Meir is saying you could do chalitza with a min'al, even lechatchila. Uman d'amar lechatchila lo my time. And the one who says that you should not use a min'al lechatchila for chalitza, what's the reason? Why is he against the use of a min'al? Ilema mishum dahavya pansa, so pansa me'al, va'arka same'al dima'al. Because those, maybe you'll say the following, that what happens on the min'al, the soft leather shoe, essentially it has two parts, right? You have the pansa, which is the upper section, and then you have the araksa, which ultimately are the straps. So apparently these shoes were made of like two different pieces, where you'd have, let's say, the body, the upper part of the shoe, and then the strap part of the shoe. So maybe the issue is that it's considered to be one shoe on top of the other, and what happens? V'atora amra me'al, v'lo me'al de me'al, And the Torah says that the Yavama has to take off the shoe from the foot of the Yavama, but not take off something that is on top of the shoe of the Yavama. So when she undoes the laces, again, that's what we call me'al di me'al, one on top of the other, as opposed to, let's say, being one unit, one entity. Ihachi, if that's the case, afilu di eved namilo. If that's the case, then even b'di'eved, a min'al should not be good. But yet we see that, at least according to most opinions, at least b'di'eved, the min'al is okay. To which the Gemara says, Gzeira mishum min'al merufat. No, what we are, the reason why we don't want you to use a min'al is because we are nervous if that you may come to use a min'al merufat, which ultimately again means that the shoe is torn. Look at Rashi. Merufat, it's almost right across in Rashi. Merufat mevuka, karua milamala, dechevan dirachich, afagav dikarua, meisiv leakare. Aval sandal shu kasha en yachol yashvo araglo, mishen niftach velekal emigzamidi. So also, here's the issue. We're concerned that she may come to use a torn min'al. So because the min'al is made of soft leather, even if lamaisa, it's torn, you could still go ahead and use it as a shoe. And therefore, we'll say what the problem is, such a shoe would not be good for chalitza, because for chalitza purposes, the shoe, as we're going to see, must be whole. This is different than a sandal, because a sandal, which is hard leather, once it's ripped, you can't use it at all. So there's no concern that you may come to use a ripped sandal. So therefore, what the Gemara seems to be saying right now is we don't let you use a whole min'al, even though technically speaking it should be okay, lest you come to use a torn min'al, which would be problematic. Inami, the other possibility is mishum chatzi min'al. That they will say what happens. A person will come, chatzi min'al literally means a shoe or a min'al that only covers half of your foot. It will say, in other words, the issue is, as we're going to see, is that the shoe that is used has to be a shoe that ultimately fits the yavam. The concern with the min'al, because it's soft leather, a person could kind of stoop their foot in there. You know, they could bunch their foot in there and get it in, as opposed to, again, a sandal, which is made of hard leather, which if it doesn't fit, it doesn't fit. So the concern over here is if you let you use a min'al, either, again, you'll come to use a torn min'al, which is not good, but you could still get away with wearing it, or you come to use a min'al, which is small, but still covers a good part of your foot, both of which are problematic. Therefore, what goes there, therefore we say, don't use the min'al at all for a chalitza. The Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, Inami mishum chatzimah, Amarav, I love the chamise, the chavivi, the chalatz besandal, the iste shinsen, ana lo havi chalitzna ela besandal de taye de mahadik tvei. So we'll say, Rav says something very interesting. Had I not seen my uncle do chalitza with a sandal that had shinsen, about say shinsen are straps, I would not have conducted chalitza with anything other than literally, sandala de taya. Taya, Rabbi says, an Arab merchant. So I would have only used an Arabian sandal. What happens to the Arabian sandal? The mahadak tfei. They fit very snugly on the foot. Rashi says, okay, I'm sorry. The Gemara says, Vahai didon. And this sandal that we have today, afagav de ispe chamarta, even though it has a knot, Katrinon be misna, kihechi didehavi chalitzasa ma'al yasa. We still attach a strap to it in order that it should be a proper chalitza. I will say, now what's happening over here? Look at Rashi. Afagav de isle chomarta, even though our contemporary sandals have a knot on it, still they would attach an additional strap to the sandal. Rashi says, kesher kasha al svasav. So the sandals today have a knot on it in order that the foot not fall out of the sandal. We would put additional strap on the sandal. We're going to see the issue over here has to be that the shoe is on the foot of the Yavam, and it is the Yavama that comes along and, sorry, that comes along and removes the shoe. Now, I'm sorry. Now again, understand the issue at play over here is that we don't want the shoe falling off by itself. and we don't want the shoe coming off as a result of gravity. So essentially what the Gemara is saying is that even though the sandals we have today have a knot, and therefore they fit pretty snugly on the foot, for chalitza purposes, we attach an additional strap to the sandal. And remember again, the chalitza, as we're going to see, is the woman undoes the strap and also goes in and takes off the shoe. Therefore, it's unequivocally clear that what? That shoe is coming off as a result of her effort and her force, and not because it's too loose and not because of gravity. So the Gemara goes by, Rav Yehuda Amri Rav, Hataras Yevama L'shuk B'shmitas Rov Ha'ikev. So we'll say, a woman, literally, a Yevama becomes permitted to every man, which we'll say is another way of saying that Chalitza is completed, B'shmitas Rov Ha'ikev, when she removes the shoe from the majority of the Yevam's heel. The Yevam's heel. Now, obviously, that's not a totally true statement, because remember, again, the removal of the shoe is only part of the process, but the idea is that it's considered to be removed when she removes it from the majority of the heel. Rav says, one second, Meisei, raise the kasha. Hutru ritzuos minal v'sandal, if she undid the straps of his shoe or his sandal, o sheshamat rov haregel, or she removed the shoe from the majority of his foot, chalitza sapsula. Right? The chalitza pasul. Taima de shama too. Excuse me, I will say, oh, sheshama, excuse me, he removed it. Now, the reason why it's possible is because he removed the shoe from his foot. Hashamtahi, if she removed it, chalitza sekshera. The chalitza is good, but I will say, remember, what did the Mishnah say? But rov haregel in, rov ha'ekev lo? But here, this price is, not the Mishnah, but the Brisa, seems to indicate that how much of the shoe do you have to take off? You have to take off from the majority of the foot, not the majority of the heel, to which the Gemara says, lo, hainu rov haregel, hainu rov ha'ekev. In reality, it's the same thing. The majority of the heel, same thing as the majority of the foot. But why do we recall the majority of the heel? So the Gemara is saying over here is that, no, majority of the foot means majority of the heel. But why would you say that? Why would you call the majority of the heel that's the equivalent to the majority of the foot? Va'amai karu le rov haregel, dekule chayla dekaro ala dechai dochis. Because I will say, really, the entire weight, the entire pressure of the leg is on the heel. Therefore, because the heel supports so much, therefore, the ma'aseh is considered to be rov haregel. So we'll say, so another important point. So far, we've seen, number one, that it has to be the yevama that ultimately takes off the shoe. And now we've seen, interestingly enough, that technically, it doesn't even have to be the whole shoe. Rather, all she needs to do is uncover the majority of the heel. Misayeli Rav Yanai. So this seems to support Rav Yanai. The Amr Rav Yanai, because Rav Yanai said, "Bein shehitir hu v'shamtehi," whether he untied the shoe and she took it off, or "Bein shehitirhi v'shamatu," or she untied the shoe and he took it off, chalitza sapsula, such a chalitza is possible. Ad shetatirhi v'tashmeti. Well, so in order for chalitza to be kasha, what has to happen? She has to untie and she has to remove. So she has to untie the shoe. She has to remove the shoe. Boy, Rabbi Yana said, "Karose, interesting kashas. Karasuhu mahu, right? Sraftu mahu." What says interesting? Let's say she didn't take off the shoe, but she tore off the shoe. So we'll say, taking off the shoe means a general taking off. Let's say she didn't take it off. She tore it off. Or, this is interesting, she burned it off. I guess, she burned it off the yavam. Okay? She burned it off. The point is, the shoe's off, right? The shoe has left the building. But, again, at the end of the day, she did not take it off. So what's that halacha? So on one hand, can we say, giluye karabayim? On one hand, we say, perhaps, what's necessary is to reveal the heel, and the heel of the ha'ika, or on the other hand, perhaps you require a removal of the shoe. Excuse me. And that did not. You guys are mamish surrounded over here. I'm sorry. It's like an incubator for disease. I'm sorry. So in any event, the Gemara says, you got your flu shots.
It's a germaphobe, right?
No, I'm sorry. I know. So the Gemara says the following. I'm going to move over a little bit. No, it's not good, actually.
Bless you.
I'm sorry, Jose. Okay. So the Gemara says the following. So what happens if she tears the shoe or she burns it off? So the Gemara says, on one hand, it depends. Is the goal to go ahead and reveal the heel? So if that's the goal, then the heel is revealed. On the other hand, if the goal is the removal of the shoe, l'maisi, you don't have that. To which the Gemara says, teku. To which the Gemara says, we're not sure. We'll leave the question standing. So Rav Nechemi asked the following kasha of Rabba. Yesh mina olim, shnei mina olim, ze'a gav ze'a, ma'ur. We'll say, what happens if he's wearing two shoes, one on top of the other? One on top of the other. So hey, echi dummy. So if you say that she took off the upper one and the bottom one is still there, so the Gemara says, meaning, let me say that differently. If she took out the outer one, but the first one is still there, so the Gemara says, Me'al Amrachman Avalo Me'al Demeal. So that's not going to be good, because remember the Torah explicitly says she has to remove the shoe from the Yavama's foot and not from something on the Yavama's foot. To which the Gemara says, no, Lo Tzricha Dekarasi Le'ilai, she tore the first one, Vishalafti Le'tasoi, and she took off the bottom one, the koi iloi, but yet the outer one is still there. So my, what's the halacha? So in other words, if she tore, let's say she tore the sole of the first one, of the outer one, she removed then the inner one, but the outer one is still there. What's the halacha? On one hand, chalitza ba'irad. Sorry. On one hand, chalitza ba'inal v'ha'ika. On one hand, you require chalitza, and you've done chalitza, you've taken off a shoe. Old Dilma Kara ba inon valek, or on the other hand, maybe you require a revealing of the heel, and of course you don't have that. Amud Beis Umi Iko Kiagabla. So the Gemara was, now this is interesting because the Gemara like never does this, but for some reason it feels compelled to do it over here. To which the Gemara says, is there such a case like this? Is there such a case like this where someone is going to wear multiple pairs of shoes? And I will say, it's so interesting because we've had like such ridiculously far-fetched cases, much more than people wearing multiple sets of shoes. And yet the Gemara doesn't discuss, the Gemara never asks how could this happen, but here, the Gemara chooses to ask how it happens. To which the Gemara says, in the Chazua L'Rabbanan, L'Rav Yehuda, the Nafik Pechamsha Zuze Muki L'Shuka. Because I will say this, the rabbi saw Rav Yehuda go out, Rashi says, Muke, he says, Kloshunash Kashim, Heim, Vechein, Belashna, Ravi, Korlamina, Alam, Almuk. They saw once Rav Yehuda, that Rav Yehuda once went out with five pairs of shoes to the marketplace. I will say again, obviously there are different types of shoes. So some were thinner type, almost sock-like shoes, like moccasin-type shoes. So they saw that he went out with, I'm sorry? Galoshes, although again, there'll be an interesting discussion as to whether or not the galosh, something that is only made for protection of shoes, actually has the status of shoe. We're actually going to discuss cases like that. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, Mukil Shuka, Amarav Yehuda Amarav, Yevama Sheik Dila, but it's another interesting case. Yevama Sheik Dila Bena Achin, if Yevama grew up among the brothers, Muteres linase leechad mina achin, ve'ein choshesh in shama chalza sandal leechad man. It is interesting. So let's say again you have a situation of a young girl, was married to one of the brothers. And what happens? And the brother died without children. So what happens? Now she's young, and the brothers are not yet ready to do Yibum with her. So what happens? She grows up within the household. Now she becomes an adult woman, and she wants to do Yibum with one of the brothers. So the Gemara says, we need not be concerned that perhaps over the course of the time that they were growing up together, she removed the shoe of one of the brothers. Now, listen, now what does that mean? That perhaps, like, just whatever, just in the course of a household, you know, one time one of the brothers came home, he needed help getting off his shoe, and she took off his shoe. So we're not choshesh that she did that. Now, listen, what the Gemara is really saying is what? That we're not choshesh that maybe she took off his shoe, because if she would have taken off his shoe, then what? Then what? Then that would be tantamount to a chalitza. And if it would be tantamount to a chalitza, then lemaisa again what? Then lemaisa, she can't marry one of them. To which the Gemara says, one second. Taima de lo chazinar. Are you telling me then that the reason is because we never saw her do this? Ha chazinan chayshina. Are you telling me that had we seen her growing up take off the shoe of one of the brothers, that would be choshish for chalitza? But one second. But Tanya, we learned, bein shenis kavein hu, velo nis kavein hi. Whether he had intention and she didn't have intention, bein shenis kavna hi, velo nis kavein hu, or she had intention but he did not have intention, chalitzasa psula Achis kavnu shteim keechad. Rabbi says chalitz is only kosher if what? If both of them have kavana for chalitz. Leaving aside, by the way, of course, the Beis Din issue also, which we'll see can be dealt with. Because technically speaking, as much as you need a Beis Din for a chalitza, as we're going to see, there are circumstances where even without a Beis Din, the chalitza could be kosher. So leave the Beis Din aside for now. But the idea that's clear is what? That chalitza only occurs if both parties have in mind, have kavana for chalitza. And yet in this case, if they were growing up and she removed the shoe of one of the brothers, certainly again, there's no kavana for chalitza, to which the Gemara says, Achis kalushen ke'echad ha'achi kamar. This is what it means to say, af agav dechazinon, even if we've seen that as they were growing up, this girl took off the shoe of one of her brothers, ein choshishin shema kivnu. We do not have any kind of chashash that they had kavana for chalitza. V'ikad ha'amri, others explain, time of the chazinon. The reason we're not choshesh that maybe she took off his shoe is because we never saw it happen. Ha chazinon choshishin. But if lemaisa we saw that over the course of the growing up she took off the shoe of one of the brothers, then einachinami we would be choshesh for chalitza. How can you say that? Udikatana by kavana. But yet that which you said before that there should be no chalitza because chalitza requires kavana. When do we say that chalitza requires kavana? Chalitza requires kavana in order to permit her to marry another man other than the Yavam. However, avala'achin mifsala. But Rabbi say any act of removing a brother's shoe would make her puzzle to the brothers. Rabbi say we've seen this already before. That sometimes when it comes to Yimur Chalitza, there are two stages. You need something much more conclusive and absolute to allow her to marry into the general populace. But yet sometimes you need something much more minor in order to prohibit her from marrying the other brother. So apparently what the Gemara is saying here, which is quite interesting, is that if she removed the shoe of one of the brothers, and it's not clear to us what her intentions were, we have to be choshesh for chalitza. How does that chashash of chalitza manifest itself? That she would no longer have the ability to do yibum. But would that allow her to go ahead and what? And marry someone from the general public? And the answer to that is no. In order to marry out into the general public, we would make her again repeat the act of chalitza in a halachically bona fide fashion. Rav Yehuda Marav, sandal hatafer. So we'll say now we're back to the nature of shoes that could be used for chalitza. Sandal hatafer bepishton ein cholzin bo. If you have a sandal, Rav says this is actually interesting. Tafer bepishton. If you look at Rashi, he says hatafer bepishton shetafer besocho beget pishton. That has like a linen insert that is sewn into it. Kigon shetofrin besocho levadin. Like you sew socks into the shoes. Lashon acher tafer pishtan shetafer mishicha kein shalom. So we'll say two different possibilities. Either it means that you have a sandal that has literally like a linen insert, a linen inside to make it comfortable, or that it's a leather shoe that's stitched with linen thread. So the Gemara says, the halacha is in cholzin bo. You cannot use it for chalitza. Why? Shenamar, because the pasuk says, and here the Gemara quotes from the pasuk from Yechezkel, the pasuk says, va'abishech rikma va'an aleich tachash. I will go ahead and I will, this is talking about the Shbarach, who's speaking to Klal Yisrael. I'm going to take such care of you that I'm going to give you shoes of tachash skin. We'll say, so tachash, tachash was a very specific animal that was used. Its hide was used for the covering of the Mishkan. But the idea over here, the reason why they're bringing the pasuk is because the definition of a shoe is something that is solely made from leather. Ve'ema tachish, and so therefore, I'll say, therefore, if you have this shoe that is made from linen as well, whether it's a linen insert or linen stitching, so such a shoe is not good for chalitza. It has to be pure leather for chalitza purposes. Ve'ema tachish in midiachrinalos. Maybe we'll take this a step further. Maybe you could only literally use a tachash shoe, and not any other kind of leather, to which the Gemara says, na'al riba. No, because since the pasuk says na'al twice, therefore what? Therefore that teaches us that that's an inclusionary phrase. So the double lashon of na'al teaches you that you could use any type of shoe of leather. If that's the case, then why does Na'al is coming to include other types of shoes? Why do you say it only includes a leather shoe? Maybe it comes to include other types of shoes as well. If that's the case, then Na'al includes all types of shoes, then what does the word tachash do for me? Tachash obviously comes to teach me that what, Rabbi Osai? It has to be leather. Na'al comes teaching that what? It can be all types of leather. to which the Gemara says, "Ba'imini Rav Elazar, Rabbi Elazar may Rav." So we'll say, Rabbi Elazar asked the following kasha of Rav: Who shall or utrisosav shall ser? And we'll say another interesting case. Let's say the shoe is made of leather, but trisoyosav. So we'll say, so this means straps or laces. If you look at Rashi, trisoyosav ritsuosav. So let's say the shoe itself is made of leather, but the laces are made of sear, are made of animal hair. Mahu, what's talacha? Amar le milo karinan bay. This is still called a leather shoe, meaning the fact that the laces are made of another material, that doesn't bother us. What happens if the entire shoe is made of animal hair? That should be okay also. To which the Gemara says, no, hahu karka mikri. That's not called the minal, that's not called the shoe, that's called the karka. All right, it has a different name. Amali Rav Kana l'shmua. Rav Kana said to Shmua, mimai, what we've established is like this. We've established is it has to be a shoe that's made of leather. It could be of any kind of leather. And apparently the laces, however, need not be of leather. The laces can be made of other things. So the Gemara says, I'm only Rav Kana l'Shmuel. So Rav Kana said to Shmuel, mi'mai, dahai v'chaltza na'alo me'al raglo, mishlafu d'chsiv. This is interesting. Now, the Pasuk by Chalitza says, v'chaltza na'alo me'al raglo, which we translate as, she will go ahead and remove the shoe from his foot. How do we know that the Lashon of v'chaltza means to remove? So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you why, d'chsiv. Because the Torah speaks about tzaras habayis, when the home has tzaras. So the Torah says, you shall remove the stones from the home that have the nega, that have the affliction. So you see from here that what? That v'chaltza means to remove. To which the Gemara says, but one second, I could say ve'ima zaruzihu. I could say no, that in fact, the lashon of chaltza could mean, both say zeruz means to stand at attention, which could actually mean to put on, to add on. Right, prepare for yourselves, people from the army. To which Rabbi say again, Lamaisa. Now, if hechatsu means to ready oneself, then Rabbi say what it could actually mean is what? Not to take off the shoe, but what? To put on the shoe. Perhaps the pasuk is saying the chaltza na'alo me'al raglo means you shall place the shoe on his foot. To which the Gemara says, no, hasam nami. Even in that pasuk of hechatsu me'itchem anashim latzava, so chaltza hechatsu also means to remove. Why? Shalufim mi'beis alakarva. Because what are we saying? People have to leave their homes. They have to be taken away from their homes and go into battle. I v'haksi, but the pasuk says, Yechalat ani ba'anyo. The ani shall be supported in his poverty. So you see over again here, the word chalat means to support, to strengthen. The Gemara says, no, what it means is bischar anyo. In the merit of his poverty, yechaltzu medina shel gehenim. He will be removed from judgment in Gehenna. I mean, I will say that if a person suffers in this world, often that earthly suffering spares them from the trials and travails of Gehenim. Elohad d'chsiv. But what about that which the pasuk says? Chona malach Hashem saviv l'reyav v'yechaltzeim. But yet the pasuk says that ultimately, again, the malach of Hashem camps around them v'yechaltzeim and strengthens them, which again seems to indicate that the word chalatz means to add or to strengthen. Bischar yireyav yechaltzeim medina v'shal gehenim. In the merit of your yira, of your yiras Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will save one from, will remove one from the din of gehenim. So again, really, you see that chalatz means to remove. Elohad d'chsiv, what about the fact that the pasuk says, v'atzmosecha yechalatz, that your bones shall be strengthened. V'amre b'lazer, zu ma'ula shebe brachas, this is the best of brachas. Amarava, zeruze garmi. It means a strengthening of the bones. So you see, they're both saying that chalatz doesn't just mean to remove, but rather chalatz means to strengthen. So again, which leads us to the kasha, how do I know that when the pasuk says the chaltza na'alo me'al raglo, that means to remove his shoe? Maybe it means what? To put on the shoe. To which the Gemara says in mashmachi, you're right. Chalatz can mean to take off, and chalatz can mean to remove. But the hacha is takatayt chazeruzehu. If you think over in the case of chalitza, it means to remove the shoe. Im ki lichtov rachmana v'chaltza na'alo biraglo. Let the pasuk say she shall put the shoe on his foot. However, again, but yet, what does it say? V'chaltza na'alo me'al raglo, which seems to indicate what, that you're taking it off his foot. To which the Gemara says, no, I'll tell you why. Ikas of rachmana biraglo. If the pasuk would have said on his foot, or biraglo, have amina biraglo in, bishoko lo. I would have thought that it only applies to a shoe that you wear on your foot, but not a shoe that's what? That you wear on your leg. Nabos Rashi points out, this is referring to an amputee, that I might have thought that chalitza could only occur with someone who has a foot, and therefore the shoe is going on his foot, but if a person is an amputee and you're putting a shoe like on the stub, on the amputated part, that perhaps again that is not a proper that is not a proper chalitza. Therefore, again, lo kas is therefore I'm sorry in bishoko lo kasav rachmana me al raglo. Therefore, the Torah uses a more encompassing lashon of from with on his foot dafilu bishoko. Even if the shoe is not on his foot, but again it's on his leg. Imkein lichtov rachmana b'maal raglo. But therefore, let the pasuk say. Bime'al raglo, my me'al raglo. Why does it have to say from on his foot? Shmamina mishlafu. It's coming to teach us that what? That l'maiser Rav Osei, when it comes to chalitza is not the act of putting a shoe on, but rather again from the lashon of me'al raglo, from on. I know it doesn't, it's not good English, but from on his foot indicates to us what? That chalitza takes place, or chalitza occurs by removing the shoe from the foot. Shmamina. And Rav Osei, indeed, this is conclusive. So again, we end off with an interesting grammatical reality that chalat sometimes means to strengthen, chalat sometimes means to take off, but lamais again, because in this context lashon is me'al raglo, from with on his foot, therefore that indicates to us that the shoe in fact is being removed. We'll say one more piece. Amar li ahu min al Rabbi Gamliel. There was a particular heretic who said to Rabbi Gamliel, Ama de chalat le mare mine. You are a nation whose master did chalitza from it. So in other words, this heretic was saying to Rabbi Gamliel, God has kiviyachol done chalitza to Klal Yisrael, and therefore our Kadosh Baruch Hu is separate from us. Dich say, because the pasuk says, Bitzonam ubibikaram yelechu, yelchu levakesh es Hashem, velo yimatsu. So they will go with their sheep and with their oxen to seek out God, and they will not find him. Chalatz mehem. He has literally chalitza has been done from them. So Rabbi Gamliel says, Amar le shote, you fool. Miksiv chalatz lohem. Does the pasuk say that God has done chalitza to them? Chalatz mehem ksiv. Rather, it means he has been chalatz from them. In other words, Rabbi say, what happened? What is the pasuk describing? The pasuk is describing not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done chalitza from us, but rather Klal Yisrael has done chalitza from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ve'ilu Yevama dechaltzu la la'achin. Midei meshashe ispe. Now I will say, if the Yevama does chalitza to the brothers, right? If she does the chalitza process, so does ultimately, again, does such a chalitza have any type of effect? And of course, the answer is no. Chalitza has to be initiated by the brothers. So we'll say, and if the Yevama does chalitza, such a chalitza is ineffective. So too, what is the pasuk saying? HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't do chalitza. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the man. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not, he's the brother. He did not do chalitza from us, but rather what's happened? We've done, unfortunately, because of our actions, sometimes chalitza from him. But just like halachically, a chalitza that is done by the woman to the man is ineffective, so too, again, although when we do chalitza to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it hurts God, but it is quote-unquote ineffective. The relationship is still there, and the bond has not been severed. All right, so we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up at these two dats in Yiratz Hashem tomorrow. Rabbi, did it matter whether you